Accession number 167, 57 Reel 5.
Norman Pickles, Reel 5.
You were just saying, incidentally, you saw this.
Yeah, incidentally, whilst we were down at the invasion, we saw St. Alston. She'd come down from Liverpool for the invasion, and she came alongside the jetty in Portsmouth. So I went on board, and there were very few of the original crew there. She'd been having a refit since I left her, and they put a lot more bunks in and quite a few more crew on, and all the what you might call old hands like myself, we'd all been sent off back to depot. But nevertheless, I was pleased to see the ship again, and she did take part in the invasion. Anyway, I left the HMS Spina in September 1944 and got back to Lowestoft, and I was immediately then sent to Pembroke to take a leading hands course.
Sent to where?
HMS Pembroke, Chatham. I was sent from Lowestoft to Chatham Barracks to take a leading telegraphist course. That was on the 15th of September. And so the telegraphist course took, it took lots on two or three months anyway, in this leading telegraphist course. It was actually run and taken up in Cookham Camp, just outside Chatham. It was an extension of the barracks, just outside Chatham. At Cookham Camp is where the signal school was, and I was there for, two or three months doing this leading hands course, and eventually I graduated as a leading telegraphist. And so I was ready for draft again.
Did you go to sea again?
Yes.
Before the end of the war?
Yes. Yes, I was ready for draft again then, and I was all along fed up with being in the barracks. So I volunteered. Shouldn't volunteer, they'd always say. I volunteered for draft to a Western Approaches corvette. Firstly, because I knew the routine. I'd been 4 years in North Atlantic and Arctic convoys, and I knew all the convoy routines and what it was like. And I thought, well, the best thing to me, I'd been senior officer in the HMS St. Elston all the time I was in her, so I thought, well, the best thing to me, I'd get leading tell I'm senior officer in a corvette, which, again, is very similar to a trawler. They'd about four wireless operators and a leading hand. So I thought, I want to get back to Western Approaches and know what to do. I know how to work it up there. And I certainly didn't want to go back and find myself in a battleship or a cruiser or anything like that. Anyway, I don't think there were many people who volunteered for corvettes, so within two or three days I got a draft kit to HMS Pimpernel, which was a flower class corvette. And I joined HMS Pimpernel on the 12th of March 1945, and she was in a floating dock up at Oban in Scotland, just outside Oban. When I joined her, she was having not quite a refit, but just a thorough overhaul, I should say, in this floating dock. anyway, she got she got ready for sea again, and in the, on this occasion there was myself and four telegraphies, which meant I didn't have to keep watches. The four telegraphies were keeping watches, and I was just leading hand over them. The three telegraphies were keeping watches, and I was the fourth leading hand, not taking watches, which was a change. And when she was ready for sailing, she was in a floating dock, and when she was ready for sailing, they moved her out, and we went up to Tobermory again. We went up to Tobermory again for a workup. Well, I'd been there 3 years before, and the Pimpernel had been out in the West Indies for 2 or 3 years and just come home again. So none of the others had been on the routine that Commander Stevenson set up at Tobermory. Anyway, we went there and did our drill, as we should have done, whatever it was, but halfway through, that was halfway through the course, it the war was over. It was VE Day. So they promptly cancelled the course, and we had a carnival day next day. Everybody, we had various games and things on shore. The commander himself joined in with a treasure hunt and all that sort of thing. Then we had a bonfire at night, and everybody enjoyed themselves, I think, and then got back on board. And then we got told we were off with another convoy because they hadn't cleared all the submarines and accounted for all the submarines at that point. So we joined the convoy going across to St. John's, the usual North Atlantic convoys that I'd been doing before. And we went across to St. John's with one convoy, and we prepared 2 or 3 days, a week up in St. John's, and then came back again, or set off back again with another convoy. By this time, it must have been a fortnight or 3 weeks after VE Day, we got halfway across on our way back, and then they sent a long wireless signal out in plain language, a sort of a general thing saying the war's definitely over, we've accounted for all the submarines, any ships at sea and convoy can now proceed independently, and we'll show navigation lights. So we decided we'd have a firework display at night before we split up. And unfortunately, it was foggy. So the only flares that we saw were our own and maybe one or two ships near to us. We didn't see the whole convoy lit up. And with that, we all proceeded at whatever was our best speed. And we got back into Liverpool on our own. We were just going independently, going to Liverpool. And we paid off probably a third of the crew there, and the rest of us were took the ship from Liverpool round to Greenock. And at Greenock, we discharged all the ammunition, shells, depth charges, a lot of the stores, all discharged at Greenock. And then most of the rest of the crew were then sent home on leave. I was left on board the only wireless operator. There was one signalman, a couple of officers, and one or two engineers, and we took the boat from the Clyde across to Londonderry. Again, you went to Londonderry for years, and we just ran around the mud on the waterside. One part of London is called Waterside. We ran around the mud on Waterside and left her there. with several other trawlers. And as incidentally, we coming down the River Foyle, we passed about a dozen U-boats all tied up on the jetty, which we'd never seen a U-boat before. But they were all tied up on the jetty up at Lizzahalley just before you get into Londonderry. Anyway, I left Londonderry and got back into the depot, back into Chatham Barracks. When was that? 28th of June. 28th of June 1945. And I was in Chatham Barracks, or attachments to it, because they had various out places they'd take you to. Technically, I was in Chatham Barracks, more or less, waiting for D-Mob. We were doing exercises and lessons, and we had rehabilitation lessons. Now, I got back to doing some accounting in the leisure time, thinking I'd be going back to clerical work. And we went up to Cookham Camp, went to another one called Laughing Waters Camp, just outside Gravesend, and we went to one called All Hallows, which was on right on the Thames estuary. And it was whilst I was there, I didn't see it, but a V2 bomb dropped just very close to where we were. The V2 V1s or twos, the rockets, V2s.
V2.
Yeah. We were looking out over the estuary, and there's this great splash of water and an explosion, and then the sound of the V2 coming through the air after it had landed.
This was after VE Day?
No, I missed out there. No, this was before VE Day, when I was waiting for my leading hand for draft. I cut that one out. Yes, that was whilst I was waiting for draft earlier on in Chatham Barracks. But anyway, there I stayed. We went then from Sheerness, we went up to, by boat, up to HMS Ganges up at Shotley. They thought they could accommodate us there better, and we were there for a week or two. Then we went to another camp, I forget its name now, it was the next American camp. But anyway, long story, not going anywhere. Eventually, I was recalled to Chatham Barracks and demobbed, and my leave expired on the 25th of December 1945, Christmas Day 1945.
You were saying when you volunteered for the Pimpernel, or volunteered for a corvette, that
yes.
You preferred being in a small ship in the Navy rather than a big one.
Yes.
What were your reasons for that?
Well, the small ships, you were sort of nearer the water, you know. They did move up and down when it was rough, and it was harder, really, but it was, you were freer in a way. You'd know less discipline. In the big ships, the big ships were cruisers and upwards, certainly, they were run more like routine in barracks. Now, the barrack routine was easy to get used to, but it was very strict, and there were rules that had to be abided by. But in the small ships, particularly corvettes and possibly destroyers downwards, this discipline was not as strict, and the routine was not as strict. So long as you could get on with your job and do it right at the right time, you were free to, you weren't tied down with petty rules and regulations or anything. But I liked the small ships. I liked to feel that I was sailing and not in a floating barracks.